Live from historic downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, home of founding father James Wilson, 19th century hymn writer George Duffield, 19th century gospel minister George Norcross, and sports legend Jim Thorpe. It's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now here's your host, Chris Arnson.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth who are listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnson, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Friday on this 28th day of July, 2023. I want to once again thank the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio listening audience for praying for my older brother, Andy. He is 75. He was taken from the nursing home where he lives last Sunday night to a hospital due to pneumonia and a urinary tract infection. Things were looking scary a couple of times, and I was requesting urgent and fervent prayer from my listeners in regard to a restoration of my brother's health, and also a miraculous work spiritually within his heart and mind in regard to our Lord Jesus Christ. And it seems that he is improving enough where he will be likely discharged from the hospital this weekend and returned to the nursing home. So I want to thank all of you who have been praying for Andy. I ask of you to continue to pray for him, not only for his physical needs, but also for his spiritual needs. Thank you so much. You'll never know the depth of the gratitude I have, not only to God especially, but to God for you, who have been praying for me and demonstrating how much you love me in this program by responding with your affirmation that you are praying for my requests. I can never get over how blessed I routinely am by your kindness. Today, I am thrilled to have back a returning guest to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. His name is Dr. Jeffrey C. Waddington. He's an author, a teaching elder at Cambodia Presbyterian Church, and a missionary professor. And today, he's going to be addressing Reformed theology and presuppositionalism. How strong is the link? And it's my honor and privilege to welcome you back to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, my old friend, Dr. Jeffrey C. Waddington.
Well, thank you, Chris, for inviting me on the program. It's always been a pleasure to join with you in past episodes. So I'm looking forward to our time together this afternoon.
Why don't you explain to our listeners something about Cambodia Presbyterian Church?
Sure. The Cambodian Presbyterian Church is, as its name says, in Cambodia. I am a teaching elder in that denomination through being friends and colleagues with the president of one of the seminaries in Phnom Penh, who's ordained in that denomination, and they invited me to join with them. So at this point, my service is from a distance through the internet, with the hope that the Lord would make it possible that the teaching would become in person as well. I think Zoom enables us to do a lot internationally that couldn't be done beforehand, with all the troubles that we know, Zoom, the merely Zoom that can create. But Zoom as one tool among many is great, but I do enjoy in-person teaching, which of course I do as well at Penn State University, Pennsylvania State University. Not to be confused with the state pen. sometimes is. I teach basically history of Christianity in two different courses from the New Testament era up through just prior to the Reformation at the Abington campus. There are a multitude of campuses of the Penn State.
Yeah, in fact, their law college has a satellite location about 5 minutes from where I'm sitting.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I mean, I believe they have 28 campuses.
Wow.
I'll be, Lord willing, I'll be doing two courses for the school this fall in Cambodia. That will be one on union with Christ and another on the Pentateuch, or the first five books of the Old Testament. And my course at Penn State, which is in person, is going to be on early Judaism and early Christianity. So it's that period of time in New Testament, the period of, the intertestamental period, which we now refer to as the Second Temple period. Referring to Herod's temple, it's the second is over against Solomon. So that will be my topic. It will be Second Temple era, so early Judaism and early Christianity, discussing among other things the eventual parting of the ways between official Judaism and official Christianity.
My listeners who may be in or have loved ones who are in, or who have loved ones who have left the Salvation Army, may be interested in listening afterwards, after this live program. You might want to go back to the archives at ironsharpensironradio.com and listen to my guest, Dr. Jeffrey C. Waddington's testimony of how he and his wife left the Salvation Army denomination, and I'm not saying that to disparage any of the truly born again and wonderful folks in the Salvation Army, but it just happens to be a denomination that is in stark contrast in regard to the sovereignty of God, especially with Reformed theology. So I hope that you do take time eventually to listen to that fascinating interview as well. Well, we are talking about a controversial issue today, presuppositionalism. As long as I've been a Christian, there has been a relatively friendly division amongst Reformed Christians over this issue. You have Reformed Christians like the late R.C. Sproul, who advocated classical apologetics or evidential apologetics, as did his mentor, John Gerstner, both of whom are great heroes of mine. Had the privilege of seeing both of them speak on a number of occasions and met them face to face, and only have had Dr. Sproul on the program. I never had the opportunity to have Dr. Gerstner on the show, who is also in heaven now. But they were thoroughly Reformed and yet in opposition to presuppositionalism. But it seems that lately the divide has become more intense, more caustic perhaps, especially due to the rise of popularity of Thomism, which typically is associated with an opposing view to presuppositionalism. And perhaps you can correct me if you think I'm overstating the case. But if you could, first of all, I think it would be wise for you to define presuppositionalism.
Sure. The term itself, I believe, was coined by, his name went right out of my head.
Cornelius Van Til?
No, he was not the one who coined the term presuppositionalism. That was from his, who is our friend who was out at Wheaton and then Oliver Buswell.
Okay.
Oliver Buswell. I knew it would come to me. He coined the term back in the 30s or 40s. So okay. And Dr. Van Til basically said, okay, we'll go with it. It may be a little bit confusing because the term has what I would call an epistemological or subjective element and a metaphysical or objective element. Okay, so in the first instance would be that presuppositionalism presupposes the truth of the triune God of Scripture and his revealed will. So that includes God and creation. Okay, there you go. We've got all of reality covered. And there's a subjective element, which is the truth that I presuppose that has been revealed in God's word and that I embrace. And depending on what we're talking about, it could be that only one of those aspects is in view, and we've not always been good at clarifying that. So presuppositions are not merely biases. See, that's often how it's understood. What I'm saying, following not only Dr. Van Til, but also his disciple, Dr. Greg Bahnsen, the late Dr. Bahnsen, and of course the late Dr. Van Til, the presuppositional argument method is to argue from the impossibility of the contrary. The impossibility of the contrary, which means if you deny the God, the triune God of Scripture and his revealed will, then you have no way of accounting for reality and what we know about it. So that in a nutshell, that in other words, how was I going to put it? In a nutshell, it's what's called an indirect method. In other words, it's talking with a non-believer and asking how they can account for what they know about reality and their own knowledge, basically.
And specifically, your motivation for conducting today's program is a growing popularity among Arminians or non-Reformed Christians, because not all non-Reformed Christians would call themselves that, although they usually would fit well within the historical description of evangelical Arminianism. But there's a growing popularity amongst them to adopt a presuppositional apologetic. And yet, while you are rejoicing over that and celebrating that, you have a hesitancy over that because you believe it is not consistent and logical. Perhaps you could further expand upon that.
Yes. Basically, presuppositionalism was birthed out of Reformed theology. So that as a method, it is a way of arguing, as a way of defending the Christian faith, it is built upon and dependent upon the Reformed theology out of which it arises, basically. However, as you've already noted, Chris, it can be adopted by and has been adopted by non-Reformed Christians to some benefit. I mean, to some good effect. And when I say non-Reformed, I mean Eastern Orthodox and Roman Catholic. Understand that this is not merely within the broader evangelical community, but this use of presuppositionalism has gone beyond the evangelical or Bible-believing church confines and is actually extended to Eastern Orthodoxy and Roman Catholicism. And if you were to search on YouTube, you can find teachers with large followings who do this.
Wow. Now, can you explain why it seems, I'm not saying that every Thomist or every devotee of Thomas Aquinas is not a presuppositionalist, but it seems by and large, at least the new breed of Thomists amongst Reformed Baptists, amongst Presbyterians and others, have either abandoned a previously held presuppositional apologetic or have just received further ammunition to oppose presuppositionalism because of their newfound and growing reliance upon the theology of Thomas Aquinas. Can you tell us what would make Thomism at odds with presuppositionalism?
Well, first of all, anybody who is following the classical method of apologetics is in some sense adopting the method of Thomas. That doesn't mean they know it or they're purposely trying to follow Thomas, but as a matter of fact, that's the method in some shape or form that he himself embraced. Now, just to maybe add a bit of clarification, classical apologetics and evidentialism, when you're looking at the truth of the Bible, look exactly the same because basically they are. The difference between classical apologetics and evidential apologetics is that classical adds to evidentialism so-called philosophically neutral arguments about God. So they're trying to argue for the existence of a God before they look at the Bible and what it says about the God. Okay, so the classical method is typically a two-step, whereas evidentialism is more of a one-step right into the Bible and dealing with the historical truthfulness, etc.
Well, if you could share with us, what are the primarily reformed elements of theology that, in your opinion, are so hinged to and wedded to presuppositionalism that it would reveal that those from outside of Reformed Protestantism may appear in some level to be logically consistent, but if you press the issue to the nth degree, it really falls apart. What would be those areas?
Okay. Now, I forgot to, before I answer that question, Chris, which is an excellent question, or series of questions, maybe more accurately, I forgot to answer so those who are presently part of the Reformed Thomist school, and right, there would be many, this arises, at least in part, out of the revolution in church history and historical theology that occurred through the work of Richard Muller and some of his professors, teachers, and his students. So, so there's been a return to looking at Thomas himself. So why would that be opposed? Well, of course, if we disagree with classical apologetics, and we do in terms of our trying to argue for a neutral idea of a God and not necessarily the triune God of the Bible, then these brothers are critical of presuppositionalism, and Thomas gives them, they think, ammunition to shoot at us. And I hold these brothers in high regard, even though I disagree with them on these particular issues. I would agree with them first on appreciating church history and historical theology and recognizing the significance of a Thomas Aquinas, his brilliance as a theologian, his influence in the history of Western and now also Eastern Christianity. Thomas is a part of our good, bad, or indifferent. He's a part of our heritage. So it's because his influence goes beyond Roman Catholicism, You mentioned R.C. Sproul and John Gerstner. They were both specifically attempting to build on their understanding of Thomas Aquinas.
Yes. In fact, there is a documentary, or not a documentary, a lecture that I have seen on DVD, and of course, that's a dinosaur in today's technology. But when I saw it, it was on DVD. Might have even been on a videotape. But when Sproul was going through a lecture, a very detailed lecture on his primary heroes of the Christian faith, there were some of his Reformed Protestant brethren who were dismayed that he so enthusiastically included Thomas Aquinas in that group.
Yeah, I think there's an interpretation of Thomas that's actually not historically accurate, coming from the influence of Dr. Gerstner, who I hold, by the way, in high regard.
Oh, I loved him.
Right, in terms of his, I love that growly voice.
which Sproul evolved to adopt.
Yes. Now, I came to Gerstner by way of Sproul, and when I heard Gerstner, I said, that's Sproul. I didn't know. and maybe it's just the Pittsburgh dialect. Now, to get to your question, which would be, and a bridge to your question would be that Dr. Van Til and presuppositionalists historically have been critical of Thomas. So that's why Thomists are critical of us. So there's a history there going back to actually predates Van Til, goes back to some extent in Abraham Kuyper and in Boving, Herman Boving, who both, by the way, are well-read in Thomas, as was, I believe, Dr. Van Til, but Richard Muller himself has gone after Dr. Van Til, and that would be a project in its own right to interact with Dr. Muller, who I hold in very high regard, by the way, as a church historian.
Now, I don't want to focus too much on Thomas Aquinas today, but it seems inescapable when we're talking about this issue of presuppositionalism. Was it Aquinas's a natural theology that is at the core of their opposition to presuppositionalism, or what is it?
Well, Van Til did not reject natural theology, and neither do I. It's the natural theology we hold to. In other words, you know, Roman Catholics have a doctrine of justification. That doesn't mean we should therefore reject a doctrine of justification just because Catholics have one, right?
Right.
So in this instance, their understanding, we might say the devil is in the details, right? And so we have to I totally forgot the question, Chris.
I was wondering if...
As I was fishing there. Can you remind me of you just asked?
Well, I'll even slightly rephrase it. Is it... Thomas Aquinas' specific understanding of natural theology that is at the focal point of his modern-day disciples being opponents of presuppositionalism.
Well, that's certainly a part of it, but I would argue that, as others have, that it's actually his whole doctrine. Because he was such a – was a brilliant theologian, and on – things like how to study theology and things like that. He actually was quite insightful. But it's his doctrine of God. Doctrine of God yields a doctrine of natural theology. Here's a point. So natural theology is not natural revelation. Okay. Dr. Van Til typically is lumped with Karl Barth. Inaccurate. He's even my friend John Fesco of Reformed Theological Seminary in Jackson, in his book Reforming Apologetics, mm-hmm. inaccurately puts Van Til into the same group as Barth.
Neo-Orthodox?
Yeah, Barth rejects natural revelation and natural theology.
Mm-hmm.
Although one can argue he has one anyway, but that's a story for another day. What's going on is natural revelation is the revelation that God gives of himself in nature and in including human nature, our consciousness, right? Being made in the image of God, etc. Natural theology is what we think about God's natural revelation. Okay? That distinction is very important. Van Til does not reject natural revelation. Karl Barth did. Van Til does not reject natural theology properly defined. Karl Barth did, with all due respect to Dr. Fesco. Thomas Aquinas, there's a whole bunch of things that are right. Remember I talked about how presupposition, the term presupposition, yes, has an objective and a subjective sense. In other words, yes, are we talking about the God and his world that we presuppose, or are we talking about my thinking about right. God and his world? Right? So it could be either or both together. So right. We need to ask that, unpack that. With Thomas, Thomas has an epistemology, that is a theory of human knowledge, that is, if I can put it in quick and dirty terms, that's the expression one of my professors at Westminster used to use, Claire Davis, shout out to Claire Davis, Thomas was an empiricist. That is, most of us who are familiar with Thomas Aquinas know that he was heavily influenced by Aristotle, right? The philosopher, as he's called,
right,
in the works of Thomas. Well, Aristotle was empirical. He was an empiricist. In other words, all human knowledge must begin in the senses, sight, hearing, smelling, taste, feeling, that kind of thing, right?
Now, isn't that where the Roman Catholic understanding of transubstantiation and the Mass came from?
That would certainly enter into that concept.
Accidents already, and substance. Accidents and substance.
Yes. You can see connections to other issues that we're not technically talking about the Lord's Supper. So what that does is Thomas says that affects his understanding of Romans 1 and what Paul says in verses 18 to 32. And you may remember that I made comments about this when we were working through Romans chapter 1, Chris. You may remember that I made an observation about that. You can read Thomas's commentary on Romans online, by the way. You don't have to purchase it. It's free. The people who publish it in print also offer it online. But so you can go and find what Thomas said about Romans 1, 18 to 32. You don't have to rely upon me. You can do it yourself. But he basically says that God created us with a capacity or an ability to know, but he doesn't say that God actually implants knowledge of himself in the human mind and heart, which is what Paul says. So already you've got in Thomas a problem, and that's related because for Thomas, knowledge of God is indirect in the sense that we can only know God through his effects in creation. Mm-hmm. We can only, remember, he's an empiricist. Mm-hmm. So we can only know God through his effects in creation.
And let me pick up where you left off there, because we have to go to our first commercial break.
Yep, no problem.
Anybody who would like to join us on the air with a question of your own for Dr. Jeffrey C. Waddington on presuppositionalism, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Give us your first name at least, city and state, and country of residence. Please only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Let's say you are in sharp disagreement with your own elders at the church where you are a member over this issue, and you'd rather not obviously identify yourself and therefore subsequently identify your church. We wouldn't want you to do that. And you might even be an elder of a church who disagrees with your fellow elders or your denomination over what we're talking about. We understand those would be reasons to remain anonymous, but please, if it's a general question, give us your first name at least, city and state and country of residence. Please don't go away. We'll be right back with Jeffrey C. Waddington.
The Mid-Atlantic Reformation Society presents The Future of Christendom 2023, The Gospel at War, September 15th to the 16th in Lancaster County, Pennsylvania, featuring Dr. James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. We are excited to be including a formal debate in this year's conference. Dr. James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries will be debating Dr. Gregory Coles, author of Single Gay Christian, A Personal Journey of Faith and Sexual Identity. The debate topic: is gay Christian a biblically acceptable identity for a member of Christ's church? So come join us for the 6th Future of Christendom Conference. The event will take place at Spooky Nook Sports in Mannheim, Pennsylvania, and will run from Friday evening through all day Saturday, with an invitation to the Sunday morning worship service of the Independence Reformed Bible Church. This will be a weekend packed with practical teaching, with a theme of the gospel at war in many areas of our culture, including government schools, the Supreme Court, missions, feminism, and even the church pulpits. Head to futureofchristendom.org.
James White of Alpha Mega Ministries here. I'm very excited to announce that my longtime friend Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio and I are heading down to Atlanta, Georgia again for the G3 National Conference. That's Thursday, September 21st through Saturday, the 23rd, on a theme that I have been preaching, teaching, writing about, and defending in live public debates for most of my life: the sovereignty of God. I'll be joined on the speaking roster by Steve Lawson, Vodi Balcom, Paul Washer, Virgil Walker, Scott Annual, and Josh Bice, founder of G3 Ministries. And there's more great news. Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio can get you a 30% discount off the registration fee. Go to g3min.org, that's g3min.org, and enter promo code G3ISIR. That's G3ISIR for the 30% discount. Chris Arnzen and I look forward to seeing you all Thursday, September 21st through Saturday the 23rd for the G3 National Conference in Atlanta, Georgia, on the sovereignty of God. Make sure you stop by the Iron Sharpens Iron radio exhibitor booth and say hi to Chris Arnzen while you're there. Go to g3min.org and enter promo code G3ISIR for your 30% discount off the registration fee.
Brian McLaughlin, president of the SecureCom Group and an enthusiastic supporter of Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron radio program. The SecureCom Group provides the highest level of security, closed-circuit television, access control, and communication systems for Manhattan's top residential buildings, as well as churches, commercial properties, municipalities, and more. We custom install exactly what you need to protect yourself, including digital recording, off-site viewing, and connectivity from most smart devices. From simple code-activated systems to the latest technology using facial recognition, the SecureCom Group has it. We also provide the latest in intercom and IP telephone systems. In addition, we provide superior networking platforms. We'll create, maintain, and secure your local network. Whether it's a Wi-Fi or hardwire network, we'll implement the latest secured firewall, endpoint solutions, and cloud backup. I would love to have the honor and privilege of helping protect the lives and property of Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners and their associates. For more details on how the SecureCom Group may be of service to you with the very latest in security innovations, call 718-353-3355. That's 718-353-3355. or visit securecomgroup.com. That's securecomgroup.com. This is Brian McLaughlin of the Secure Comm Group, joining Chris Arnzen's family of advertisers to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
Puritan Reformed is a Bible-believing, kingdom-building, devil-fighting church. We're devoted to upholding the apostolic doctrine and practice preserved in Scripture alone. Puritan Reformed teaches men to rule and lead as image-bearing prophets, priests, and kings. We teach families to worship together as families. Puritan is committed to teaching the whole counsel of God so that the earth will be filled with the knowledge of God as the waters cover the sea. We sing the Psalms, teach the law, proclaim the gospel, make disciples, maintain discipline, and exalt Christ. This is Pastor David Rees of Puritan Reformed in Phoenix, Arizona. Join us in the glorious cause of advancing Christ's crown and covenant over the kings of the earth. Puritan Reformed Church. Believe, build, fight. PuritanPHX.com.
We here at Iron Sharpens Iron Radio praise God for the generous monthly financial support of Royal Diadem Jewelers, educated by and affiliated with the American Gem Society, Jewelers of America, and the Gemological Institute of America. For the perfect custom-designed engagement ring or any one-of-a-kind piece of jewelry created exactly according to your imagination and specifications, Royal Diadem Jewelers has you covered. No matter where you live in the world, Royal Diadem will walk you step-by-step through every stage of the process and even hold a high-tech internet virtual visit using state-of-the-art jewelry design technology to serve you. They start by listening carefully to determine your needs. They're interested in making what you want, not what they want to sell you. From rough design to digital model, to photorealistic image, to wax prototype model, to the finished product, they're continually listening to your input, likes and dislikes, making any changes necessary along the way. This will ensure that your custom jewelry will turn out exactly as you dreamed and well beyond your expectations. Visit royaldiadem.com. That's royaldiadem.com today. Sterling Vanderwerker, owner of Royal Diadem Jewelers, his wife Bronnie, his business partner and manager Brian Wilson, and the entire family thank you all for listening to, praying for, and supporting the work of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And don't forget, folks, RoyalDiadem.com is still offering Iron Sharpens Iron Radio this mind-blowing opportunity. They are going to give us 100% of the profits from any sale of jewelry valued at $100 or more to an Iron Sharpens Iron Radio listener simply by those listeners mentioning Iron Sharpens Iron Radio when they make their purchase. So whether you are purchasing something that they already have in stock in their jewelry selection at royaldiadem.com, or if you're having a customized piece of jewelry created, like you're turning your church logo or your parachurch logo, denomination logo, or seminary logo into a pendant or a ring or another kind of piece of jewelry or anything else that your imagination and creativity can conjure up. They will take what's in your brain and they will turn it into a physical piece of jewelry that will blow your mind. I've seen firsthand how stunning and how amazing their craftsmanship is over customizing jewelry, and you are assured that it will turn out exactly the way that you want it to turn out because you are involved in every single step of the creation process. Through computer software, you get to see, no matter where you live in the world, every phase of the customization process, and you have the ability to say, hey, wait, I love this, but I hate this, or could you change this? And I came up with a new idea. Can you add this? And can you change the color of this stone? And can you make this stone larger? Whatever it is that you are inputting into the creation process, They're not going to make the jewelry the way they want it. They want to make it according to what you want. And so, and on top of all of that, you get a wax prototype shipped to you in the mail so you could see and hold in your hand a three-dimensional image before they make the final product. So even that is up for your approval. So please, if you have any interest in purchasing jewelry or having jewelry customized for like an engagement ring or anything else, please go to royaldiadem.com quickly and mention Chris Aronson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, because we have no idea when they're going to pull the plug on this offer where we receive 100% of the profits. That's royaldiadem.com. We're now back with Dr. Jeffrey C. Waddington. We are talking about Reformed theology and presuppositionalism. How strong is the link? Right before the break, we were in the middle of discussing the epistemology of empiricism. And if you could pick up where we left off.
Sure. We were talking about, in particular, that Thomas's doctrine of God impacts his doctrine of natural theology. He does not have a category. I think I've mentioned this before. I've not found in my reading of Thomas any reference to a natural revelation. So revelation, discussion of revelation in Thomas is always special revelation. And there are issues, although understand that the folk who are interested in using a presuppositional method of apologetics, who are in, say, the Eastern Orthodox or Roman Catholic tradition, I don't know in particular whether they would be, I doubt they would be influenced by Thomas, although they may be quite familiar with him. But the brothers in Reformed circles who have rediscovered Thomas or have discovered him for the first time, they are correct that you can't bring Thomas and presuppositionalism together. They're not that you can't learn things from reading Thomas. It's just that you can't. That they're different ways of defending the Christian religion. Thomas wants to defend a ambiguous theology of a God, but not, at least when it's natural theology, it's not necessarily the Christian God, but a God. And then when he gets to special revelation, he can be more particular. Whereas we would argue from the beginning, the God that we presuppose is the triune God of Scripture, not a non-existent God who is, according to the Scriptures, an idol.
You know, wow, what you're saying actually is making me realize something that I've noticed, and I don't want to broad brush, but there is a tendency amongst evidentialists and those who embrace classic apologetics to be so more concerned. It seems like their primary concern in the field of apologetics is just to convince atheists to become theists, to believe that there exists a higher power, a God, etc. But that isn't really sufficient at all, is it?
No, you may remember some years ago when Dr. Sproul, again, who I hold in very high regard and am sad to think that he's no longer with us, so that he himself is not sad.
And he's no longer an evidentialist.
Right. He's in the presence of the great and glorious triune God, right, his risen Christ. But you may remember, and I think he mentioned this, the British atheist Anthony Kenny, who was a well-known philosopher. If you studied the history of Western philosophy, the name of Anthony Kenny will be familiar because he's edited Philosophical Encyclopedia as well. He became a theist. And I don't remember at this point, you know.
You're not talking about Anthony Flew?
Oh, it could be Anthony Flew. Yes. Okay. Could, same thing. I mean, Anthony Flew also is a, yes. When you're talking about Oxford and Cambridge, philosophers, they're all interact, but thank you. You corrected me. It's Anthony Flew who became a theist. I don't know what kind of theist he became. And you're right. The Great Commission says, Jesus said in the Great Commission in Matthew 28 to go into all the world and make disciples of the nations. That is, disciples of Christ, not converts to generic theism. Because there is no generic deity. There's only one God
right.
in three persons. That's the only one that exists. That's the only one, as Christians, we ought to defend.
Amen. So, and one last thing about Aquinas, and unless you want to bring him up for any particular reason, unless I'm misunderstanding the defense of Aquinas by many who at least previously were doggedly, unashamedly, unwaveringly Protestant and vehemently opposed to the false gospel and religion of Rome, they are giving Thomas Aquinas a pass, it seems to me anyway, merely or primarily, perhaps, because he existed 3 centuries before the Council of Trent, and Trent was really the official departure of Rome into apostasy, where although there were apostates in Rome for centuries prior to that, this is where it became dogmatically official that they were an apostate church, because they officially apostatized the true gospel, or those who adhered to it, and declared dogmatically a false gospel. And am I making sense that is?
Yeah, exactly, Chris. What you've got, and the point we could make is that the Council of Trent, sometimes referred to as the Tridentine Council, they're the same thing. That they are actually making official the teaching of Thomas Aquinas, and
right.
They say so. They say on the altar was the Bible,
yes.
and the Summa Theologia. The Summa Theologia, Sum of Theology, basically.
So basically, even though he lived 3 centuries before Trent, he had the same.
Well, he's Roman Catholic.
Yes, he had the same. He had the same gospel that Trent would later define.
He's not the inventor of transubstantiation, but he offers an argument for it. Of course, turning Aristotle on his head, but that's again another issue. But back to, what is it? What are the issues? Well, if God cannot be known except by his effects, that's in one sense, of course, no duh, revelation is an effect, but he means more. He's saying that he's denying what I think the Apostle Paul in Romans 1:18-32 is actually teaching. Knowing God, they refuse to honor God or to worship him, which is Paul's argument in the latter half of Romans chapter 1. And they think that Paul is saying that God created Adam and Eve with the capacity to know him, whereas we argue, in fact, that he created us knowing him. Not that merely, of course, to know God means that we have the capacity. That there's no debate about that. But we're saying that God actually created us knowing him because he created us to be worshiping beings. Worshiping beings of him. And this is borne out all the time, because why are there idols? Because God created us to be worshiping beings. If we don't worship him, we're worshiping either ourselves or some other thing in creation. Because that's the perversion of what God intended us to be.
And to give kudos to Aquinas, Is it true? Because I've heard differences amongst scholars on this and historians. But is it true that Thomas Aquinas shared with we who are Reformed and Calvinists a view of double predestination?
Well, he's an Augustinian. So in that sense, it's been a while since I've read him on that topic, but I believe that's correct. He's not very Augustinian on his understanding of sin. And that also comes into view when we're looking at apologetics. But so Thomas's method of doing apologetics is to argue generically for the idea of a God. And then when he gets to what we call special revelation, that is the Bible and the history of revelation, that God's in, you know, revealing himself over time to Israel and then to the person of his son, Jesus Christ, then he can talk about the God who actually exists. Okay. And that's the bone of contention. And what we're saying is Eastern Orthodoxy and Roman Catholicism as institutions, as denominations, if you want to use that language, are, I think, historically or traditionally committed to that kind of view of God. So those who are Eastern Orthodox or Roman Catholic, we try to use presuppositionalism as an apologetic method, either don't understand it, they're redefining Roman Catholic and Eastern Orthodox theology, but they are certainly redefining presuppositionalism, because presuppositionalism cannot be reduced to a mathematical formulation. You will know, Chris, that there are some apologists who revel in reducing arguments to algebraic formula, because that can be done. Mathematical logic, right? So it's showing I'll give you an example. William Dumbrell.
Can you pick up on William Dumbrell when we return from our midway break? Because we have to go to our middle break.
Sure thing.
All right,
sure
folks. Thing. Please be patient with us, folks, because the middle break, as always, is a little longer than the other breaks in the show, because Grace Life Radio, 90.1 FM in Lake City, Florida, requires of us a longer break in the middle of the show, because they air during this middle break their own public service announcements in order to be faithful to the requirements of the SEC, who demands that they localize geographically this program to Lake City, Florida. While they do that, we simultaneously air our globally heard commercials. So please use this time wisely. Write down as much of the contact information as you possibly can for as many of our advertisers as you can, so that you can more frequently and successfully respond to our advertisers. And hopefully that will mean that you buy their products and use their services and visit their churches. But when you cannot do any of those things, if you really love the show and are grateful that there are individuals, businesses, and churches who are sharing the wealth that God has blessed them with, contact our advertisers and thank them for sponsoring Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Do that, and also send in your questions to Dr. Jeffrey C. Waddington to chrisarnson@gmail.com. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
The Mid-Atlantic Reformation Society presents The Future of Christendom 2023, The Gospel at War, September 15th to the 16th in Lancaster County, Pennsylvania, featuring Dr. James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. We are excited to be including a formal debate in this year's conference. Dr. James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries will be debating Dr. Gregory Coles, author of Single Gay Christian, A Personal Journey of Faith and Sexual Identity. The debate topic: is gay Christian a biblically acceptable identity for a member of Christ's church? So come join us for the 6th Future of Christendom Conference.
The event will take place at Spooky Nook Sports in Mannheim, Pennsylvania, and will run from Friday evening through all day Saturday, with an invitation to the Sunday morning worship service of the Independence Reformed Bible Church. This will be a weekend packed with practical teaching, with a theme of the gospel at war in many areas of our culture, including government schools, the Supreme Court, missions, feminism, and even the church pulpits. Head to futureofchristendom.org.
James White of Alpha Mega Ministries here. I'm very excited to announce that my longtime friend Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio and I are heading down to Atlanta, Georgia again for the G3 National Conference. That's Thursday, September 21st through Saturday the 23rd, on a theme that I have been preaching, teaching, writing about, and defending in live public debates for most of my life, the sovereignty of God. I'll be joined on the speaking roster by Steve Lawson, Vody Balcom, Paul Washer, Virgil Walker, Scott Annual, and Josh Bice, founder of G3 Ministries. And there's more great news. Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio can get you a 30% discount off the registration fee. Go to g3min.org, that's g3min.org, and enter promo code G3ISIR. That's G3ISIR for the 30% discount. Chris Arnzen and I look forward to seeing you all Thursday, September 21st through Saturday the 23rd for the G3 National Conference in Atlanta, Georgia on the sovereignty of God. Make sure you stop by the Iron Sharpens Iron radio exhibitor booth and say hi to Chris Arnzen while you're there. Go to g3min.org and enter promo code G3ISIR for your 30% discount off the registration fee.
Such a blessing to hear from Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners from all over the world. Here's Joe Riley, a listener in Ireland, who wants you to know about a guest on the show he really loves hearing interviewed, Dr. Joe Moorcraft.
I'm Joe Riley, a faithful Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener here in Athy in County Kildare, Ireland, going back to 2005. One of my very favorite guests on Iron Sharpens Iron is Dr. Joe Moorcraft. If you've been blessed by Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Dr. Moorcraft and Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, are largely to thank, since they are one of the program's largest financial supporters. Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming is in Forsyth County, a part of the Atlanta metropolitan area. Heritage is a thoroughly biblical church, unwaveringly committed to Westminster standards, and Dr. Joe Moorcraft is the author of an 8-volume commentary on the larger catechism. Heritage is a member of the Hanover Presbytery, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, and tracing its roots and heritage back to the great Protestant Reformation of the 16th century. Heritage maintains and follows the biblical truth and principles proclaimed by the Reformers. Scripture alone, grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone, and God's glory alone. Their primary goal is the worship of the triune God that continues in eternity. For more details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. That's heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Or call 678-954-7831. That's 678-954-7831. If you visit, tell them Joe Riley, an Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener from Athy in County Kildare, Ireland, sent you.
Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005. The publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper. President and Professor of Systematic and Homiletical Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary in Taylor, South Carolina. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck White at the First Trinity Lutheran Church in Tonawanda, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Anthony Mathenia of Christ Church in Radford, Virginia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jesse Miller of Damascus Road Christian Church in Gardnerville, Nevada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Bruce Bennett of Word of Truth Church in Farmingville, Long Island, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rodney Brown of Metro Bible Church in Southlake, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jim Harrison of Red Mills Baptist Church in Mayapack Falls, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Getting a driver's license, running a cash register, flipping burgers, passing sixth grade. Do you know what they all have in common? They all require training, assessments, and certifications. But do you know what requires no training at all? Becoming a parent. My name is A.M. Brewster. I'm the president of Truth, Love, Parent, and host of its award-winning podcast. I've been a biblical family counselor since the early 2000s, and what I've discovered is that the majority of Christian parents have never been biblically equipped to do the work of the ministry in their homes. That's why Truth, Love, Parent exists. We serve God by equipping dads and moms to be the ambassador parents God called and created them to be. We produce free parenting resources, train church leaders, and offer biblical counseling so that the next generation of dads and moms can use the scriptures to parent their children for life and godliness. Please visit us at truthloveparent.com.
Hi, I'm Buzz Taylor. Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio has had a long-time partnership with our friends at CVBBS, which stands for Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. They specialize in supplying Reformed and Puritan books and Bibles at discount prices that make them affordable for everyone. CVBBS has been a family-owned book service since 1987, operating out of Carlisle, Pennsylvania. They seek to bring you the best available Christian books and Bibles at the best possible prices. Unlike other book sites, they make no effort to provide every book that is available or popular because, frankly, much of what is being printed is not worth your time. That means you can get to the good stuff faster. It also means you don't have to worry about being assaulted by the pornographic, heretical, and otherwise faith-insulting materials promoted by the secular book vendors. Browse the pages at ease, shop at your leisure, and purchase with confidence at Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Order online at cvbbs.com. That's cvbbs.com. Or you can order by phone at 1-800-656-0231. That's 1-800-656-0231. Please let our friends at CVBBS know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, We hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasso wishing you all the richest blessings of our Sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnzen and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, professor of apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I've been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
If you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, one of the best ways you can help keep the show on the air is by supporting our advertisers. One such faithful advertiser who really believes in what Chris Arnzen is doing is Daniel P. Puttafuoco, serious injury lawyer and Christian apologist. Dan is the president and founder of the Historical Bible Society. Their mission? To foster belief in the credibility of Scripture as the written Word of God. They go to various churches, schools, and institutions to publicly display a rare collection of biblical texts, along with a fascinating presentation by Mr. Buttafuoco demonstrating the reliability of Scripture. To advance the cause of the Gospel, they created a beautiful, perfect facsimile of the genealogy of Jesus Christ from the original engravings contained in a first edition 1611 King James Bible. This 17th century hand-engraved chart shows the family tree of Jesus Christ going back to Adam and Eve. This book is complete with gorgeous full-size illustrations of Noah's Ark and the Tower of Babel, and an explanation of why the genealogy of Jesus is so important for his claims to the throne of the universe. Originals of this work are in museums, and nobody has ever made it accessible to the public in a large book form before. You can have your own copy of this 44-page genealogy book for a donation of $35 or more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org. That's historicalbiblesociety.org. Thanks for helping to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And always make solid-ground-books.com your very first stop for all of your gift-giving needs. They publish and bring back into print nothing but the very finest in Christian literature dating back to the 16th century Protestant Reformation, and extending forward to our current modern day, including such current authors as Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. So please go to solid-ground-books.com frequently, purchase generously, and always make sure you mention Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Before I return to my discussion with Dr. Jeffrey C. Waddington on our theme, Reform Theology and Presuppositionalism, How Strong is the Link, I just have a couple of very important announcements to make. But first of all, folks, if you really love this show and you don't want it to disappear, please, I'm urging you, go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You can donate instantly with a debit or credit card. And if you prefer a snail mail, sending in a physical check to a physical address the old-fashioned way at your post office, there will also be a physical address that appears on your screen when you click support at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can mail your checks made payable to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. If you want to advertise with us, whether it is your church, your business, your private practice like a law firm or a medical firm, or whether it is just a special event that you want to promote, as long as whatever it is compatible with what I believe, I would love to help you launch an ad campaign as quickly as possible, because we are just as much in urgent need of your advertising dollars as we are in your donations. So please send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put advertising in the subject line. Also, folks, please remember when you're donating to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, never give your own church where you are a member less money than you ordinarily give your church on the Lord's Day in order to bless us with a financial gift. Don't cut in to the money that you have reserved for your church, in other words, in order to bless us. Never do that. Also, if you're really struggling to survive, wait until you are financially stable and back on your feet before you send us a gift. There are two things very clear in the Bible about our finances. We're commanded to provide for our church and our family. Providing for Iron Sharpens Iron Radio is obviously not a command of God, but if you love the show and you are financially blessed above and beyond your ability to provide for church and family, you have extra money collecting interest in the bank, you have extra money for benevolent, recreational, and trivial purposes, well, if you really love the show and don't want us to go off the air, share some of that money with us. We really need it. Go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. Also, do not forget about the three-day Bible conference that I am assisting to arrange with the Mid-Atlantic Reformation Society. Three-day Bible conference featuring Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, September 15th, 16th, and 17th. On Saturday the 16th, as a part of that conference, Dr. White will be debating Dr. Gregory Coles, who identifies himself as a gay Christian. The theme of the debate will be, is gay Christian a biblically acceptable identity for a member of Christ's church? If you want to register and you want to get the best price for your registration, As quickly as possible, go to futureofchristendom.org, futureofchristendom.org, and you will get a discount if you do so very quickly. Also, if you are not a member of a biblically solid, Christ-honoring, theologically sound, doctrinally solid church, no matter where you live on the planet Earth, I have extensive lists spanning the globe, and I've helped many people in our audience find a biblically faithful church near them, sometimes even with just a couple of minutes from where they live. And no matter where you live on the planet Earth, that may be you too. So send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put "I need a church" in the subject line. That's also the email address where you can send in a question to Dr. Jeffrey C. Waddington on our theme, Reformed Theology and Presuppositionalism. chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least city and state and country of residence. And Dr. Waddington, I had to interrupt you right before the midway break. You were citing a scholar, and if you could, just pick up your thoughts.
I can't remember where.
his name was William.
William Dembski. Yes, yeah, I'm it. Sorry. I was giving an example of apologetics done by a mathematical algebraic formulations. And in Dembski's first, I believe it was his first book that kicks off the intelligent design movement, or his involvement in it, is, and I had picked up a copy, ordered a copy, I should say. And when it arrived, it was one algebraic formula from beginning to end, covering about 200 pages, 250 pages. And it sits on my shelf, and I do nothing with it because I have no interest in translating the mathematical formula into prose. So basically, the mathematical formulas in apologetics or philosophy are meant to be shorthand. So if you're ever wondering why do philosophers, whether they're Christian or not, engage in what looks like algebraic formulas, it's because they're meant to be a shorthand version of an argument. That's the point. And my point is, you can't, presuppositionalism really cannot be reduced to a mathematical formulation. However, during the break, an idea popped into my mind that had not been in there before. That two things. The first thing is, if Dr. Bahnsen is correct, and I believe he is, that the presuppositionalism is arguing from the impossibility of the contrary. Note this. For Arminianism or semi-Pelagianism or Pelagianism, you cannot argue from the impossibility of the contrary, because the contrary is indeed quite possible.
Huh. Well, we have
okay, so therein showeth me the intimate connection between Reformed theology and presuppositional apologetics. Again, it doesn't mean that non-Reformed folk can't adapt it, but note that they are adapting it or using elements. They're using elements. They're eclectic. They're approaching a presuppositionalism as if it were a salad bar, and you could choose from croutons. Do you want iceberg lettuce, or do you want romaine lettuce, or maybe you want both iceberg and romaine, and cucumbers and carrots and radishes and peppers, etc. And then you want to cover the whole thing in Thousand Island dressing, as undoubtedly I would. Or maybe you want sliced hard-boiled eggs thrown into your salad. You know, I wouldn't touch that with a 10-foot pole myself. But anyways,
I want a quart of chili on my salad.
Oh, I like that. I like chili. I've had a taco salad, right? It's basically that. But anyways, so the point is that the method, the arguing for the impossibility of the contrary, that is, what is the contrary? The contrary of the triune God of Scripture and his revelation to his creation. How about I put it, summarize it that way? Presuppositionalism seeks to defend the triune God of Scripture and his revelation to his creation. Okay. And the truth of the matter is the theology behind classical apologetics or evidentialism is cannot argue for the from the impossibility of the contrary, because for those theologies, and their method is governed by their theology, those theologies have a view of God's relation to his world that is open to chance. Now, Dr. Gerstner and Dr. Sproul, of course, would not allow for such things as chance.
Right.
Not a chance.
Being the fact that they believe every single thing that has ever occurred and ever will occur did so by the divine orchestration of God beforehand.
Thus, the impossibility of the contrary to the triune God of Scripture and his revelation to his creation. So you see, their theology would seem to, the Reformed theology they embrace would seem to require the presuppositional method. But because they, I would argue, and it is not meant to be poking fun at them, although I guess at the end of the day I wouldn't, because I hold them in high regard, that they have fundamental misunderstandings of Dr. Van Til for whatever reason. I'm not always sure. I think we're now many years removed from those initial disagreements, and maybe we can look at them with a little more rigor, I don't know, dispassion, although that's probably not true. We all hold to our views pretty passionately as Christians, I think. And now, related to this, but different, is the fact that, let's use Thomas Aquinas as the example, seeing as, and we could do this with any theologian, but let's use Thomas. Thomas's understanding of the Trinitarian nature of God impacts his doctrine of God, which is no duh. That's what the doctrine of God is, right? So his not even thinking about his splitting of apologetic method into one part arguing for a God, which, by the way, is the one God, monotheism in the bare sense. And then, or to use the language of Ligon Duncan, God is a bare monad. And then there is the apologetic that deals with the specific Christian religion, which is afterward. So Thomas feels as though he has to build a foundation of this neutral, non-particular God, which of course means it's a God that doesn't exist. Okay. So, but beyond, apart from that, if you were to merely look at the theology of Thomas, you would discover that his understanding of the processions of the Son and the Spirit from the Father already have errors that impact the rest of the theology, including the understanding of what the fall is and what salvation is and what the consummation will be. So you cannot follow Thomas, in my opinion. You want to pick and choose. You may try to do that, but then you're creating what I call in my blog post, which is, this is a follow-up on. You're creating a theological Frankenstein. And that's, I'm using that in purposeful sense. That when you are either Reformed and using the classical or evidential method or any other method than revelatory presuppositionalism, then you are creating a theological Frankenstein. If you are not Reformed and you're trying to use presuppositionalism, you are also creating a theological Frankenstein, but from a different direction. So either one, either of those two are errors. Specifically, in this instance, it was the error of trying to use presuppositionalism when you're not Reformed. And that's why my argument that you, if you're not Reformed, if you are any form of Pelagian or semi-Pelagian or Arminian or weak Augustinian, then you are going, you cannot argue for the contrary of the impossibility, impossibility of the contrary, because you don't affirm God's absolute sovereignty.
Right.
If it's right. So if you do not, if you don't believe in God's absolute sovereignty in the sense that the Reformed understand it, then you have to allow for possibility. And the term possibility is not defined by God, because God in an Arminian world is not sovereign. He therefore does not have control over all aspects of history. Therefore, the end he doesn't know from the beginning, despite what he says in his word.
So that would be obviously a wide open door then for Thomism to, I'm assuming, Molinists.
You already know then that Molinism historically contributed to the rise of Arminianism.
Right. And then you have the extreme that is utter undeniable heresy.
Pelagianism,
and also those who deny that God is omniscient in all things, that especially when it comes to the actions of free humans, he does not know the future of these humans.
Right.
And these folks, I know that Arminians share with us a revulsion over that, but these folks call themselves consistent Arminians.
And they've been called that by Reform folk, I think. Even someone like John Frame, in his book on the openness of God theology, pointed out that, you know, they are more consistent than their brothers and sisters in the Arminian, other wings of the Arminian tradition.
Right.
Now, when I was an Arminian, I wanted nothing to do with those folk. Understand?
Right.
So that's part. That's probably part of how I ended. Except I was already reading Reformed theologians, so I was compromised from the get-go, I guess you could say. But so think about that. If you cannot argue for the impossibility of the contrary, that is, we're arguing that the denial of the triune God, who has revealed himself and his will for our salvation, to use language of the standards, to his creation, right? God communicates with his creation. Well, first he creates, and then he communicates, and then he saves because of the fall, right? But we operate under the assumption that there is not one brass tack that is renegade in God's universe.
Right.
Right. Well,
by the way, does this also include this whole dilemma, the impeccability versus peccability of Christ, where there are some who say that Christ could not have been tempted in all ways such as we are, unless there was a possibility theoretically that he was able to yield to sin, and yet he never did? Is that whole controversy?
Well, that would be tied. Yes, it's good that you pick up on that, Chris, because that would be an entailment of our discussion. Even if we explain that you can affirm the sinlessness of Christ and yet think that he could have fallen. And those of us who uphold the impeccability of Christ are saying, actually, no, he could not have fallen. And there are several reasons for that, of which one would be the divine nature upholding the human nature. And if he had fallen, that would have caused a split in his two natures, which would be impossible. And two, denial of the truth of prophecy, which is one of the arguments that Jonathan Edwards used against the denial of God's sovereignty, is because, what he was discussing, the impeccability of Christ, which is that not only that he did not sin, but he could not sin.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the criticism, as you brought up, I'm sorry, brother, the criticism you brought up is typically that means that his temptations were not real.
Right.
And to which the response is given, and I think it's a good response, is that in fact, Christ is the only one to totally resist every temptation to which he faced. The rest of us undoubtedly at some point give in. So we cannot say that we have resisted to the end, where Christ can and did resist to the very end. So he knows the full extent of temptation. Now, what he didn't have, which is related to our question here, is he didn't have a sinful nature. You see, we have a sinful nature, and we ascribe that. So we need to make a distinction between temptation, which comes from outside of
us,
and attracts our sinful nature. So I think it was Michael Horton who described the sinful nature as being a form of Velcro. Huh. So what Christ didn't have was that internal Velcro to which a temptation could attach itself.
Yeah, yes, there are people that misunderstand Hebrews 4:15 because they have a modern understanding of the word tempted and temptation,
yes,
because of the way it's almost exclusively used in our day, as a person is actually contemplating and fantasizing about the sin and wanting to do it, but then either they yield to that or they say, nope, I know that I want to do this, but I'm not going to do it. Like a person lusting over a woman in a bikini or chocolate cake when they're diabetic, whatever the case is. And Jesus, there was actually, I'm not going to mention his name because he may have changed his mind, a very world-renowned, popular Nazarene Christian who had a worldwide radio program, possibly even a TV program, who I remember when I worked for Salem Media, at least three people independently of each other approached me and said, did you hear what Dr. So-and-so just said? He said that Jesus wanted to commit sin on many occasions, but he never yielded to it. And I said, wanting to commit sin is a sin.
Well, you see, and that, of course, now we've been caught up in the question of same-sex attraction.
Right.
Right. Because anything that disposes us to sin is itself sinful.
Yes.
And so and that's why and that's been a big argument. Right. That's been a big debate, say, within the PCA over the movement out of St. Louis.
Revoice.
Thank you. I was having a senior moment there. For the longest time now, I've understood that a sinful desire is a desire that is leaning towards sin is itself sin or sinful. So that you cannot, and again, oh, so what I was getting at was there is a distinction between our sinful nature or desires and the external object of temptation. And what Jesus did not have was the internal desires that were sinful.
Right.
He was born in the likeness of sin, but he was not himself either sin. He did not sin, and he did not desire to sin.
By the way, I want to quickly add a caveat. I do not mean to insinuate by my former remark that all Nazarenes agree with that understanding that Jesus often wanted to commit sin but never yielded to it. I'm just saying.
Yeah, I would say as a former like Nazarene in the Salvation Army, I myself would have rejected that idea.
Right.
And would have said to him, on the side, brother, you need to rethink that.
Right. The man was never known for being a theologian. He was more of a philosopher. But
understand that in Wesleyan circles, they have theologians, but when they talk about theologians in the average pulpit, theologians are not held in high esteem, generally speaking. From my experience,
we do have a listener, CJ in Lindenhurst, Long Island, New York, who wants to know, have you ever heard of the failure of natural theology, a critical appraisal of the philosophical theology of Thomas Aquinas by Jeffrey D. Johnson? Well, he asked the perfect person that, because you wrote an endorsement for that book.
I did. Yes. So, yes, I have. I read it before it was published. And was quite impressed with it. So, yes, I have.
Yes, in fact, you can listen to interviews that I've done with the author of that book, Jeffrey D. Johnson, at ironsharpensironradio.com. Just type his name into the search engine, Jeffrey D. Johnson. And the publisher is Free Grace Press, so you could get that book. And Dr. Johnson also wrote a companion book, Saving Natural Theology from Thomas Aquinas. And by the way, now that I am looking at that website for Free Grace Press, I can see Dr. Waddington's endorsement. Jeffrey Johnson has provided the Church of Jesus Christ with a solid and insightful study of Thomas Aquinas. The author has done the necessary spade work and gets down into the details of Thomas's thought regarding natural theology. And he writes, clearly and compellingly, future work on the significance of Thomas will necessitate reckoning with the argument set forth herein. Wow, that's a powerful endorsement.
Yeah, I have to say that Jeff's work, and probably because his name is Jeff, all Jeffs are committed to excellence. Jeff, Thomas Jefferson. No, I'm just kidding. His work, I'm sure you know this, Chris, but Jeff Johnson has, I believe, established a Reformed Baptist seminary.
Yes.
And James White.
Yes.
And Owen Strand.
Yes.
And others are on the faculty.
Scott Annual and others.
Yes. So, I mean, you've got...
In fact, Josh Bice, founder of the G3 Ministries, is also newly added to the faculty.
Oh, okay. Very good. So you've got a good group there. Owen Strand is, also a student of Edwards, so he and I have that element in common. He's also the son-in-law of Bruce Ware, who's a professor at Southern Baptist Seminary. But anyway, so Jeff did a fine job. Actually, both books, the Saving Natural Theology is a smaller book. Those two books would be the ones I would recommend to anybody who has questions about Thomas.
So folks, you could go to freegracepress.com, freegracepress.com. Yeah. And if you type in Aquinas, those two books will come up.
Yeah. I mean, there are lots of excellent books on various aspects of Thomas's theology written by men and women who agree with Thomas, who are convinced by, who are Thomistic scholars. You can be a Thomistic scholar without yourself being a Thomist, but many of these folk, They bear out the insights of Van Til and his students, and they have no dog in our hunt. You mm-hmm. understand that? These
right.
are Roman Catholic and Eastern Orthodox scholars who are looking at Thomas's theology in detail. I mean, many of them are well written, so they're not like Thomas. They're not a slog. So you get some really good writers who are studying aspects of Thomas. So there are other books out there, but if you're looking for, if you're just wanting to get kind of the heart of the matter, then those two books are a good way to go. There are some things that are in the works that I will one day be able to add to that list. But I would say that Jeff's work would be hard to improve upon without greatly expanding it. It would end up becoming a multi-volume set, which we may need, to be honest, because of the situation we're dealing with now with the rise in popularity of Thomas. But the point is, Thomas's theology, his specific Trinitarian theology and his understanding of the man is created in God's image, his understanding of God's natural revelation, an expression that does not occur in Thomas Aquinas in any of his writings, as far as I can tell. And then his understanding of the fall and salvation and the beatific vision, all of that takes a form that it does because of Thomas's doctrine of God. So you can't say, as some have wanted to say, and there's a new book on the Reformation that Matthew Barrett has produced, which is, I haven't gotten into fully yet, but I'm going to, and it's kind of a defense of the Reformation as a rediscovery of Thomas. And
John Calvin apparently despised him.
Well, the thing is, Thomas Aquinas is part of the literary and theological tradition of the time. Remember, we're talking about the time of the Reformation, or within 25 years of the Martin Luther's work, so that they're still reading him as a conversation partner in a way that we don't, because we have 500 plus years post Reformation.
All right, we've got to go to our final break, and you can pick up where you left off. we'll be right back with Dr. Waddington. Don't go away.
The Mid-Atlantic Reformation Society presents The Future of Christendom 2023, The Gospel at War, September 15th to the 16th in Lancaster County, Pennsylvania, featuring Dr. James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. We are excited to be including a formal debate in this year's conference. Dr. James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries will be debating Dr. Gregory Coles, author of Single Gay Christian, A Personal Journey of Faith and Sexual Identity. The debate topic: is gay Christian a biblically acceptable identity for a member of Christ's church? So come join us for the 6th Future of Christendom Conference. The event will take place at Spooky Nook Sports in Mannheim, Pennsylvania, and will run from Friday evening through all day Saturday, with an invitation to the Sunday morning worship service of the Independence Reformed Bible Church. This will be a weekend packed with practical teaching, with a theme of the gospel at war in many areas of our culture, including government schools, the Supreme Court, missions, feminism, and even the church pulpits. Head to futureofchristendom.org.
James White of Alpha Mega Ministries here. I'm very excited to announce that my longtime friend Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio and I are heading down to Atlanta, Georgia again for the G3 National Conference. That's Thursday, September 21st through Saturday the 23rd, on a theme that I have been preaching, teaching, writing about, and defending in live public debates for most of my life: the sovereignty of God. I'll be joined on the speaking roster by Steve Lawson, Vody Balcom, Paul Washer, Virgil Walker, Scott Annual, and Josh Bice, founder of G3 Ministries. And there's more great news. Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio can get you a 30% discount off the registration fee. Go to g3min.org, that's g3min.org, and enter promo code G3ISIR. That's G3ISIR for the 30% discount. Chris Arnson and I look forward to seeing you all Thursday, September 21st through Saturday the 23rd for the G3 National Conference in Atlanta, Georgia on the sovereignty of God. Make sure you stop by the Iron Sharpens Iron radio exhibitor booth and say hi to Chris Arnson while you're there. Go to g3min.org and enter promo code G3ISIR for your 30% discount off the registration fee.
Brian McLaughlin, president of the SecureCom Group and an enthusiastic supporter of Chris Arnson's Iron Sharpens Iron radio program. The SecureCom Group provides the highest level of security, closed-circuit television, access control, and communication systems for Manhattan's top residential buildings, as well as churches, commercial properties, municipalities, and more. We custom install exactly what you need to protect yourself, including digital recording, off-site viewing, and connectivity from most smart devices. From simple code-activated systems to the latest technology using facial recognition, the SecureCom Group has it. We also provide the latest in intercom and IP telephone systems. In addition, we provide superior networking platforms. We'll create, maintain, and secure your local network. Whether it's a Wi-Fi or hardwire network, we'll implement the latest secured firewall, endpoint solutions, and cloud backup. I would love to have the honor and privilege of helping protect the lives and property of Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners and their associates. For more details on how the SecureCom Group may be of service to you with the very latest in security innovations, call 718-353-3355. That's 718-353-3355. Or visit securecomgroup.com. That's securecomgroup.com. This is Brian McLaughlin of the SecureCom Group, joining Chris Arnson's family of advertisers to keep Iron Sharpens Iron radio on the air.
Puritan Reformed is a Bible-believing, kingdom-building, devil-fighting church. We are devoted to upholding the apostolic doctrine and practice preserved in Scripture alone. Puritan Reformed teaches men to rule and lead as image-bearing prophets, priests, and kings. We teach families to worship together as families. Puritan is committed to teaching the whole counsel of God so that the earth will be filled with the knowledge of God as the waters cover the sea. We sing the Psalms, teach the law, proclaim the gospel, make disciples, maintain discipline, and exalt Christ. This is Pastor David Reese of Puritan Reformed in Phoenix, Arizona. Join us in the glorious cause of advancing Christ's crown and covenant over the kings of the earth. Puritan Reformed Church. Believe, build, fight. PuritanPHX.com.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President Emeritus and Professor of Systematic and Applied Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary. Every Christian who's serious about the Reformed faith and the Westminster Standards should have and use the 8-volume commentary on the theology and ethics of the Westminster Larger Catechism titled Authentic Christianity by Dr. Joseph Moorcraft. It is much more than an exposition of the Larger Catechism. It is a thoroughly researched work utilizes biblical exegesis as well as historical and systematic theology. Dr. Moorcraft is pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, and I urge everyone looking for a biblically faithful church in that area to visit that fine congregation. For details on the 8-volume commentary, go to westminstercommentary.com, westminstercommentary.com. For details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com, heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Please tell Dr. Moorcraft and the saints at Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, that Dr. Joseph Piper of Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary sent you.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
This is Daryl Bernard Harrison, co-host of the Just Thinking Podcast, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Tom Buck at First Baptist Church of Lindale, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Kent Keller of Faith Bible Church in Sharpsburg, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Andrew Rappaport, the founder and executive director at Striving for Eternity Ministries, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Mark Grimaldi, pastor of Sovereign Grace Church of Greenbrier, Tennessee, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Christopher Cookston, pastor of Prineville Community Church in Prineville, Oregon, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Matt Tarr, pastor of High Point Baptist Church in Larksville, Pennsylvania, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Hello, my name is Anthony Uvinio, and I'm one of the pastors at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York, and also the host of the ReformRookie.com website. I want you to know that if you enjoy listening to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show like I do, you can now find it on the Apple's iTunes app by typing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in the search bar. You no longer have to worry about missing a show or a special guest because you're in your car or still at work. Just subscribe on the iTunes app and listen to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show at any time, day or night. Please be sure to also give it a good review and pass it along to anyone who would benefit from the teaching and the many solidly reformed guests that Chris Arnzen has on the show. Truth is so hard to come by these days, so don't waste your time with fluff or fake news. Subscribe to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio podcast right now. And while you're at it, you can also sign up for the ReformRookie.com podcast and visit our website and the YouTube page. We are dedicated to teaching Christian theology from a Reformed Baptist perspective to beginners in the faith as well as seasoned believers. From Keach's Catechism and the Doctrines of Grace to the Olivet Discourse and the Book of Leviticus, the Reformed Rookie podcast and YouTube channel is sure to have something to offer everyone seeking biblical truth. And finally, if you're looking to worship in a Reformed church that holds to the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith, please join us at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York. Again, I'm Pastor Anthony Uvinio, and thanks for listening.
Getting a driver's license, running a cash register, flipping burgers, passing sixth grade. Do you know what they all have in common? They all require training, assessments, and certifications. But do you know what requires no training at all? Becoming a parent. My name is A.M. Brewster. I'm the president of Truth, Love, Parent, and host of its award-winning podcast. I've been a biblical family counselor since the early 2000s, and what I've discovered is that the majority of Christian parents have never been biblically equipped to do the work of the ministry in their homes. That's why Truth, Love, Parent exists. We serve God by equipping dads and moms to be the ambassador parents God called and created them to be. We produce free parenting resources, train church leaders, and offer biblical counseling so that the next generation of dads and moms can use the scriptures to parent their children for life and godliness. Please visit us at truthloveparent.com.
By the way, folks, you've been hearing commercials for the Historical Bible Society every day on this program. Please don't forget that the founder of the Historical Bible Society is attorney at law, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, who is a serious injury and medical malpractice attorney. So if you are the victim of a serious injury or medical malpractice, no matter where you live in the United States, he can get you help in all 50 states. So please call 1-800-NOW-HURT, 1-800-NOW-HURT, or visit his website, 1-800-NOW-HURT.com. 1-800-NOW-HURT.com, and please post that website and phone number to your refrigerator or anywhere else, even if you don't need it now. You never know when you will need it or when a loved one needs it. We're back with Jeff Waddington, and we do have a listener question. I think that's an ideal way to conclude the program. We have an anonymous listener who says, why can't you leave the non-reformed in blissful ignorance about their inconsistency when they adopt presuppositionalism when they are not reformed, such as when the non-reformed will state emphatically that they give Jesus Christ 100% of the praise, honor, and glory for their salvation, when in reality, that is inconsistent logically. Yeah, that makes sense, because if they really believe that they have a part, even in a small way, in their salvation, they really can't say that they give 100% of the praise, honor, and glory to Jesus Christ.
Right.
But anyway, what are your thoughts?
Biblically speaking, there's no justification for leaving anyone in their ignorance.
Yep.
Okay, so basically that would be, now, you know, when you're talking to someone individually, you don't hit them over the head with everything you read in the Van Til book. Okay. Right.
Or you with the book itself, hitting them over
right.
the head.
Either the physical objects or the content of what you've read. So you want doing, I think in our day, especially doing apologetics, which of course is meant to lead a person to Christ, not win an argument per se. Although I don't think we want to be afraid of winning arguments, but it's how we do it. Dr. Van Til had a fancy Latin expression, suavitor in modo, fortitor in re, which means sweet in manner, strong in content. Okay, so he was basically looking at how the Bible does this. Yes. It, depending on if you're facing Simon Magus or you're facing Ilimus, the magician on the Isle of Crete, that kind of a person, or a Jannes and Jambres in the Old Testament facing Moses, those men are to be faced down very strongly in terms of your mode, your method or manner. The way you do it, right? But very often the way we need to do apologetics today is by asking questions. And increasingly, if I could put it this way, peeling back the layers of the onion. And in many instances, simply asking the question, why? Why do you think that? Why do you believe that? You know, and they can do the same with us. We have an answer because of God's word, the God who has revealed himself in his word, the God who happens to also have created this world to which he speaks.
Now, other than the sin of we who are presuppositionalists leaving somebody in their ignorance intentionally, what is the greatest harm that is done by a non-reformed person claiming to be a presuppositionalist and acting accordingly?
Well, it's the greatest harm is the failure to reckon with the truth. In other words, presuppositionalism is not, as a matter of fact, a generic method that can be taken on board by Christians of other theological persuasions, not without either fudging on their theology or fudging on the presuppositional method.
By the way, we're out of time, brother, and I want to give the website where you can read a written form of our discussion today, which was a blog article at revealedapologetics.com. Revealedapologetics.com, the ministry of my very good friend Eli Ayala. Just type in Waddington into the search engine, WADDINGTON, and you will have that article. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
You did a wonderful job. I look forward to your return to the show. I want to wish everybody a very safe, happy, and healthy, and Christ-honoring weekend and Lord's Day. And I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.